Show, we pray. Heavenly Father, we sing so many times that actually the before every service I preach, all things are possible. Because you're here, now that you're here, and we know that is true, we just pray, Father, that your Spirit will really quicken that to us to see and understand the great possibility which is in this hour, which is immortality. And as Brother Branham said, no matter how many were in the town or how many weren't in the town, you believe that you are that one, if one's coming from the going from that town, Lord. And we realize that's the right spirit to have here this morning, everyone to believe absolutely, because we have believed in the vindicated word. We stand with vindication, stand with that word of the prophet. And we might not understand it all, but we pray we have enough. As your prophet said, the little washroom with one or two tapes will make it where somebody else with tremendous knowledge and influence and whatever would not make it, Lord. So we pray that this morning that whatever we are grasping from you, that we'll believe it and hold it dearer than life, because it is our life. It goes beyond our life, giving us what we really hunger and thirst for, which is immortality. As the prophet said, nobody really wants to die. Even people committing suicide are just looking for some better place, some escape. But Lord, we're not looking for that kind of escape. We're looking for our escape to be through the power of the resurrected word within us, that life to give us immortality and get us out of here. We commend ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're at number 9 on the Easter seal, and we just continue from last night. And last night we found Brother Branham bringing to our attention that only the elect are both quickened to hear the word and believe the word and be quickened by the word. We saw that only the elect. And that proves your predestination, of course, that you're a child of God. Brought to our attention that only the elect, the preordained, the foreknown, are both quickened to hear the word. See? Something clicks, you listen. Something clicks, you believe, and then you're quickened by the word. And of course, you know the quickening of this hour is to the ultimate. It's right to the holy city, New Jerusalem, because we're dealing now in the resurrection, which Easter seal is resurrection. And what does the resurrection seal to us? All right? The elect are quickened to hear the word, to believe the word, and then be quickened by the word. He illustrated how the disciples had witnessed the manifested word of life and then the death and resurrection of Jesus and were desirous of believing it to its fullness. But they could not until the Holy Spirit came and quickened it to them. And that's what you're looking at today. Only the very presence and the power of the resurrection, knowing that He's raised from the dead and given that ability by God Himself to believe the Word, will work. Nothing else will. And we have it in this hour. He also showed us that at Pentecost and since Pentecost, they lost their fear of the persecution by preaching the Word. Our Brother Branham said they wanted to believe. They were fearful. Peter had witnessed concerning his own faith in Christ, then turned around and denied it. They were in a position of ability and yet inability, and the dynamism of the Holy Spirit, that is through the promise of the Word, had not come to them where they could stand solidly with the Word. Now, we may be struggling with that right today. But the point is, the elect will come to the place of an absolute commitment to the Word of God and a loss of fear. In other words, there will be no longer anybody looking at himself or anybody else. It'll be looking at that Word and standing with it, knowing that positively that must come to pass. Now, we saw that in Brother Branham. We went through his sermon on perfect faith, analyzed it, and saw positively that we do have an ultimate, a perfect faith on the grounds that it has been vindicated that somebody is going to be bride, period. Like Brother Branham prayed, I don't think he prayed it more than once. If we are not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, and by the grace of God, we will not stand in her way. And you couldn't anyway. But notice the fact that he's putting the people then into the secondary position of foolish virgin. In other words, you don't stand in her way, you help her. Or you get out of the way. You don't lift a hand against. See, many will come in that day with great blowhard things about what great servants and all, how they use the power of God. Man, don't you know I was a faithful and get out of here. I never knew you. And they'll be in that same bunch at the white throne that's on the left hand that he said, depart from me. You see, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting punishment, into hell prepared for the devil and his angels. But to those that did not stand in the way, they didn't even know their relationship, what was going on. See, only the elect will know the true relationship. The others will not know it. Only the wise virgin will know. The foolish will not. And he said, well, he said, when I was a hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, you clothed me. Sick and in prison, you visited me. He said, when did we do that? He said, you did it to my brethren. There was a compassion there, see? And in compassion, there was doing the will of God, which they didn't even know because they weren't aroused to it. Later on, we'll see that in another message. It'll bring it far more clearly. So, all right. We're back at paragraph 113. And he said, so the disciples, Peter swore in his presence, all of them had forsaken him at the crucifixion. But here they are now up in the upper room in the presence of God. And that is exactly true because the pillar of fire visited them. And like a true inseminator, then a little portion of that light came down and to show them little flames of fire was upon their head, signifying they were receiving the actual essentiality of the pillar of fire itself, or God in the pillar of fire, a little portion of God, and He is Spirit, which is light. And so from the true life stream, God, came that little life upon them. And when it came upon them, it united that little life in there, that little seed in there, right back to God and put it now, consequently, in the realm of serving and worshiping God. And there was now this identified oneness. I and you, you and me, and that, you know, I'm in the Father, and you and me, and I and you. And then as we're walking in the light, having fellowship, the blood cleansing. Okay. Notice. Then all of a sudden here came this Holy Spirit down from heaven, and it quickened them. It made them alive. See, not that they weren't already alive as far as the body was concerned and those things, and even as far as them having seen the resurrection, walked with Him, and all of those things were there. Now, you understand what Brother Branham is saying. All of those things are there, and you can still miss it. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. And when you are, and only at that time, will the reality of the Word be the true reality. Now, come on. It comes to my mind, I better take you to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, so that you can see what we're talking about. We're going to go on to perfection. See? Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, these are just principles of the truth, the teaching. Now, you leave them, and you go on to the final consummation, where every single thing that has been there and proven to be there now is consummated. And what will be the consummation? Resurrection, immortality. What else? Going into the millennium. This we will do if God permit, and God did not permit. No way. Wasn't time. For it, now watch, in the end time, it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened. Remember, the rain that falleth oft upon the earth, and the rain is the Word. How many messages are there in the New Testament church? Seven. And seven is completion. So at the time of the seventh church age messenger, Revelation 10 and 7, and Revelation 10 and 1, it's over. And why are people looking around the corner to turn? Why are people still preaching and trying to get the people excited? Oh, come to meeting, a great thing's going to happen. Hey, I got news for you people sitting here. You're not a bunch of bimbos. That's a pretty woman that's stupid. You're not that. It's happened. You don't act as though you haven't got what you got. It's here. Now it says once for all. Now watch. taste the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, and they fall away. Now, that's where the disciples were. But it couldn't be made real to them. See? Even though they themselves were real. But once the Holy Spirit came, and they joined to God, then everything was in order for the full reality of this. And at the end time, there is a full reality because, watch, these that fall away crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame, for the earth that drinketh in the rain that come oft upon it. How often is oft? 7 times. What's the rain? It's the word. Bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, and receives blessing from God. But watch now. There's two things take place. There's a cursing with the blessing. See? Now, bare thorns is rejected, nigh to cursing, and to be burned. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. See? Now, what's your salvation? It's going to be the salvation is of God, and the last thing you see is when the one comes down with the book of redemption in his hand. And Brother Branham called that, as he's calling this here, the abstract. In other words, proof positive. This is it. No argument. Court of law decides it. So you can see what he's saying here then. They knew all these things. They were a part of it. See? In the fact that the invitation was there and identified they were a part of it, and the absolute abstract, the sealing, was on the day of Pentecost. That's why when he preached the token, he said, don't miss it. Now, nobody can have the token, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The prophet only had that temporarily. That belongs to the whole church, the church being sealed in for the finality. But each of us has a part of his life, and if and when we do, all of these things that were made real, we know they're ours, and they're real for us and to us, and we are real with them, and piling word upon word, the consciousness develops until we're mature. And at the type of the time of the last maturity, which can only come by the involvement of God himself, Holy Spirit, through his ministry, which comes by a prophet, then is diffused to those who are called to the fivefold, you will find we come right to the place of physical headship. And that will be the absolute taking up in the rapture. Now, notice he said, on all of a sudden, here came this Holy Spirit down from heaven, and it quickened them. When the quickening took place, they were not afraid to make a witness of the message that they believed to be the truth. Otherwise, in other words, without the Holy Spirit, they would have been afraid. You see, because of themselves, they could not prove that what had transpired was literally Almighty God's Word being truly fulfilled. They had to stand back as spectators. Now, they could say, I believe it, and I want to be a part of it, and all of those things, but the doubt remained. The solidification of the reality could not be theirs until God himself was present and disseminating himself amongst the people. In other words, there was a fear until that time. Now, we're reading 114. Now, watch. How many Presbyterians, how many Methodists, how many Baptists in the world today, how many Pentecostals that know the truth and are afraid to stand on it? Now, Brother Branham is referring categorically to his vindicated ministry. And he refers to it on the grounds that the people like the Pharisees are saying, we know the word. We understand. We are a part of it. Just like they said, well, we believe Moses. We are a part of it. We're the children of Abraham. So on and so on. Now, you see, they would not receive the truth. Now, there's only one way that you can receive the truth and not be fearful, and that is the Holy Spirit quickens it to you, but you yourself must have that little particle of the Holy Spirit in you, the rebirth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, before you come to this place. You cannot do otherwise. Remember, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. You've got to understand that salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord, and actually involves His own children. There is nothing else can be saved outside of that. So he said, how many Presbyterians? Right down to Pentecost. He said, know the truth, but you're afraid to stand on it. I'm persuaded to wonder, what was that that fell on you? Well, it wasn't a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost, or you would absolutely be like these apostles right here. You'd have to stand up and say, live or die, sink or swim, we don't care what happens. We know it's the truth. What did the apostle Paul say? Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, concerning his absolute oneness with the Holy Ghost. And he says here, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, springs, present, or things to come, height nor depth, no creation is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That positively cannot come to pass in anybody's life without the Holy Spirit baptism and He bringing you to that place. It can't be done. Now he says, are you a part of His resurrection? Would you dare scream off for some man-fearing idea? Or have you got the real fullness and the real manhood that it takes to stand out and call right, right, and wrong from wrong? Now he's telling you right there, you've got enough guts, you've got enough everything to be so emotionally roused to even give your life down the line for something that is man-made and not proven, though you take it from the Bible the same as the Pharisees did, but you haven't got what it takes to stand up for the Word that actually calls right, right, and wrong, wrong, which is the strict, proper division of Scripture. Never forget that. That's exactly what he said to Cain. You have offered correct. That if you have not rightly divided, have you not sinned? Now he said the sin offering lies at the door and you've got the power over it on one condition. That's exactly what it says in John 3:16. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men do not want the light. In other words, the sacrifice is there. But the sacrifice will not do you one bit of good if you're off the Word. Now people don't want that. They want to take, they want to add. Now, you know that's the truth. You know, you sitting here this morning, you like to have your own ideas. Some of you like to probe. I got news. Don't do it. You'll destroy yourself. Just sit back and wait. The patience for the Word is more important than your patience. That you stand under tribulation. Because you can go through hell itself and be off the Word and you'll go to hell for it. You don't fool yourselves. To be outside of this Word, to be one word off is death. No matter how you look at it. Now he said, now Brother Branham preached the message unashamed. Are you ashamed of him? Well, hey, there's a lot of people not ashamed of him on the grounds of their own understanding who he is, what he is, what he's like. But then you come to this revelation that separates, as it did in the days of Noah, and you got like typical, few in number, like 8 out of maybe 5 billion going in the ark. Now don't take that for today, see. You can't do that. You just take the example. Then you take people that are going to have to stand that way. Do you think they're going to stand? No. They'll scream, they'll shout, they'll dance, they'll go through everything under high heaven, almost climb a wall. They'll perform miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and sing hallelujah, glory to God. Turn right around and deny the Word of God. End up in hell. Well, how many people can take this message? Not very many. They can't do it, especially now they're turning the presence of God into a doctrine. Oh, that's hard. That's a doctrine like serpent seed. Do you realize what a comparison like that means? The very presence of God, a doctrine like serpent seed, where the serpent got in and seduced the woman and brought forth Cain. Can you dare to believe they would say that? So I'll believe the message. And Brother Branham categorically said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And the voice that spoke through him said that day in June the 11th, 1900, was it 33 down there at the river, spoke to him saying, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second. So therefore, Brother Branham had a ministry, and the ministry was a message, and he had a ministry of divine healing to take to the world in order to get their attention. And that preceded, my brother, sister, the gift of discernment with thus saith the Lord, which allowed him the third pull, which is bringing the absolutely unperverted and wonderful word of Almighty God. See? Then they dare to say or trample down the very presence of God. Either he is here or he is not here. If he is not here now, then he never was here. And what you see there is a phony. And if that is true, the dead are going to be raised. And we're going to be changed. They have no understanding. I'm not here to challenge them. They can do what they want, because I'm sure going to do what I want. And you are part of his resurrection. Under those conditions, he said, you say you're a part of his resurrection? You've got a human zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. The zeal of my house has eaten me up. I was there, and Brother Branham turned to Brother Grant, who's deceased now, and he said, your knowledge is, he said, your zeal has outrun your knowledge. And yet Brother Branham categorically said, amongst all the people sitting there, and I can name a lot of them, he said, Brother Grant rang the truest bell of any of them. Yet here is a man whose zeal had outrun his knowledge. Are you part of his resurrection? Or are you a worshiper of a bunch of creeds? Are you a churchgoer? Do you have your name on there and dead in sins and trespasses? He that believes not the full word of God is a sinner. Now you see, how many people will correlate that with the fact that Brother Branham said there's only one sin, and that's unbelief? No, they want to categorize the attributes or the outflowing of sin, which is lying and murder and cheating and adultery and all abominations. But there's only one real sin, and that's unbelief. That's why Jesus said, which of you can convince me of unbelief? Where can you find me in one place I've been off the word? Where can you find me in one place the word has not been fulfilled? Where do you find me in one word? Because that's what it boils down to. And they could not do it. Now he said, are you worshiping by a bunch of creeds? See? Are you just a churchgoer? Remember, the Pharisees said, the temple, the temple, the temple. And he said, I'm going to pull the temple down. There won't be a stone left one upon another. But he said, you destroyed this temple, meaning his body. He said, God will raise it up, means the salvation. Yet people say, temple, church, 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 church. Now the point is, you can't do that. That's the he said the Pharisees. Don't you get it? He all lined up with the temple. Temple's a good thing. A church is a good thing. But he said, that is not what counts. He said, why do you not believe me? And the same thing goes today. He said, is there something I've left undone that you can't understand who I am? See? Now, if you don't believe then the full word of God, which is you refuse the Logos of the Rhema. Now remember, the Rhema at that time, which was in the Logos, which was in God, never even mind the Logos, wasn't thick as stardust, that said there'll be a prophet raised up unto you like unto Moses. Now, when the prophet came, that scripture, the Rhema, that came out of God, was absolutely Logos. Did every single thing that was required of him, and beyond what was required, in the sense that every single detail was not laid down. But the general picture was. So if he's to be a healer, he didn't say how many he'd heal and where he'd heal him, but he did it in abundance. He's the resurrection. They believed in it. That was a challenge that Paul put out there. The Pharisees did, the Sadducees didn't. And he performed resurrections. And of course, when he did, Lazarus was absolutely a resurrection because he was in the ground 4 days. He'd corrupted, like Brother Branham said, the nose had fallen in, whatever, and so on, the body turning to prudes, which it starts right away on that very thing, that human body. And what did they try to do? The history tells us they tried to kill Lazarus. In other words, they'll do everything they can to destroy. And they call themselves Christians. Now, we go to 115. Those Pharisees believed in many things to be the truth. They said, we are God's children. Now, watch this. They said, we are God's children, and they were until that word was preached. Now, remember, the word was not preached until the signs vindicated his ability to preach. See? Man comes to your door and he said, I hear you want to build a house. I'd like to build your house. Well, how much experience you got? Well, I don't have any. Then out of my way, bud. Who needs you? How's a man going to open his mouth and see anything which particularly has to do with the unknown and unseen world and go into the spiritual? He's got to have some credentials. All right, Jesus has his credentials. And his credentials caught the attention of these scribes and Pharisees, especially the Pharisees Brother Branham is talking about, because they're the intelligentsia, the theologians. And they said, we are God's children. And they were until that vindicated word was preached. I put in the word vindicated there because there's no such thing as him saying anything without proof. Because then their word's as good as his, maybe even better. See, because they're a whole lot more of them than he. You get 30 people saying the same thing and one guy saying different. You really should listen to the one guy that says different, but it doesn't mean he's right. It's just a better chance. Because the majority is wrong. Now, and they were until that word was preached. And when that word was preached and vindicated, now you notice he's got preached ahead of vindicated, which is all right. Because you can take that and throw it into the Greek and make it a preposition instead of a conjunction, which was preached, even vindicated. Then they became sinners for rejecting the thing that they knew was right and witnessed that thou art a teacher come from God, for we know no man can do the things that you do without God being with him. Now you notice right there, they positively knew that this had to be somebody from God. Then when they knew they couldn't beat him in his game, which in plain English means they could not produce from the word what he produced, then they had to call it the devil. Now notice that's exactly what happened in this hour with Brother Branham. Men like Dr. Otto Witz, an outstanding Lutheran Christian in Germany, men in Switzerland, men around the world, men that are religious historians, they said nobody had a ministry like this since the time of Christ. And William Branham was the one level-headed person who had the gift operating the way it should be. And they looked to him. But in this hour, they say he's of the devil. I'm going to tell you something. Those people can't see themselves in the Bible, but they're there. Now, I'm going to take you to John 8 so you know what Brother Branham is saying here, because you can get mixed up by saying, well, hey, just a minute, they're children of God. They always are children of God. Well, you just better look a little bit here and see what's going on. These are the scribes and the Pharisees that are talking to Jesus. And let's just go up to verse 36. I think maybe that's as good as anywhere. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Evidently, Abraham wasn't their father. They're Abraham's children. They received. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. In other words, what is Brother Branham saying here? These people positively are in that realm as the children of God, and nobody can deny it, nobody can gainsay it, nobody can point a finger. I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, he's a child of God, they're children of God, every single one. But the showdown comes. After the showdown, there's no way that they can say they're the children of God, though they do. I mentioned that time Brother Branham's in India. A crowd understand outdoors, 500,000 people. And there this sun worshiper, that his eyes were completely gone, having gazed at the sun until the retina and everything else was gone. And Brother Branham had a vision of the man being healed. The mayor of the city was there, knew this man. Everybody knew him. The Shiite priest had been arguing, Brother Branham, the Jains and the rest of them, several groups there, Mohammedans, a whole bunch of priests. Brother Branham said, let's have a showdown. Let's find who's the true God, who's worshiping right. Now he said, will any of you come forward in the name of your God and give this man his sight? Because I'm willing to put my God on the spot. And he said, well, you're suddenly very silent. Like Elijah, he goaded them. He had every right to, because he knew he wasn't going to do it, but God was. So then when they were silent and couldn't do it and didn't dare even try, he said, come in. And he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man screamed because his eyeballs were completely normal. Now the question is, at that time they could say, we are the children of God. We are God's. There's no way you could deny it. And they were absolutely able to make the statement. That's what his Brother Branham is showing here. And no one could gainsay it. No one could deny it. So therefore, all intents and purposes across the board, they are the children of God. Every Methodist, every Baptist, every Mormon, I don't care who it is. Naming the name of Jesus Christ. And those out there, if we have no signs, as when Brother Branham talked to Paris Reedhead, when he talked to the Mohammedan, and the Mohammedan said, Mr. Reedhead or Dr. Reedhead, what you say is very nice, but we can produce just as much psychology as you can. He said, you said that your Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. Then you do it. If you've got that spirit. And he kicked his feet in the dust because he couldn't do it. But he had to go to Brother Branham when he heard the power of God was there. But Paris Reed had, as far as I know, never really got off the ground. He did his best. But he didn't understand. If the man could do it, he had something to tell us. That's where they crucified Jesus. Shut up, blabbermouth. You've got nothing to tell us. And the truth is, he didn't have anything to tell them. He said, you've got no place for the word. Don't waste your time on people, Brother Sitch. You better believe this word all you can, and you get yourself with God. You can witness two times and just leave them flat. That's enough. Because there comes a day when the last one's in child train. Keep your witness up, but you watch where you're going. Don't cast your pearl before swine. You say swine, yeah, dogs, yeah. Natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Now, until that word was preached, which was a vindicated word, they had every right to their claims. I'm going to make the rapture, bless God. Hallelujah, I'm waiting for that second coming. Oh, yes, I know in whom I have believed. What are you going to tell them? They're right. They're legitimate. But when there's a showdown, they are illegitimate. You understand what we're saying here? They said, hey, we're Abraham's children. We're the seed. He couldn't deny it. They were, positively. But the minute the word came, the life in them was not Abraham's life. It was not the Adamic life. It was not the life of the firstborn. We'll differentiate between them sometime and show you from Scripture how that works out. But not today. Because I'll take the subject matter on it. All right. You will notice right today that there are people who make all these claims, and the Bible tells you wherein they are wrong. Now watch the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. Paul is saying the very thing that Brother Branham has just told us. And in Acts 17, in 22, Paul is on Mars Hill, and he said, I perceive you're too superstitious. I beheld your devotions. There's an altar to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship him, I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things are in seeth, yet he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, that and death determined the times be fore appointed in the bounds of the habitation, that if they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very, very, not be far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. See, just lays it out, everybody's a child of God. There is no difference. And there isn't any difference. Except through foreordination, you've got a little seed in your soul down there. And the difference is going to be the word, how you respond. And if you don't have that there, you're never going to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. You can be anointed, do signs and wonders. You can be a Judas. You can be a Balaam. You can be anything you want. There is no problem. But you'll never be a true child of God. All right, also, notice in John 15, which we've quoted many, many times. This time we'll read a little extra verse in there. We'll go to John 15, 22 and start. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now watch. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. If I had not come and spoken, they're just like children of God. Who can say anything? They're free. They're absolved. But now, that's not the way it is. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now watch. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that's written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That's the truth. He had a vindicated word, and they wouldn't take it. And the Bible said that's the way it would be. They had no cause to hate him. He said, for what good work do you stone me? They said, we don't stone you for good work, but don't you understand some? This is political. Keep your mouth shut. In politics, we don't discuss another man's religion. It's okay. Just get your vote right. That's Antichrist. Don't you see what's happening to the world? Doesn't matter what you believe. There's no vindication. Hey, we're all children of God. Hallelujah. Listen, this is so frantically disgusting, I just don't... Well, I got to deal with it. Now watch. But when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me. Now, and you shall also bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Now, that's for the disciples. The Holy Ghost will make the difference. And then if you are truly born again, now here's the point. You will be quickened to the Word. Now, Paul the Apostle made himself an example. Paul the Beloved. Lee Dale the Cruddy does the same thing. I sat under Brother Branham, saw him one time, heard him one time, just barely, but saw him. And the boy, and whatever in my consciousness says, if you listen to anybody, that's the man you listen to. Something in me said, listen. To men like Tommy Osborne, it says, do. Well, come on. Many will come in that day having done. But there'll be nobody in that day having heard that'll be turned away. Now, there's your evidence. Well, Brother Dale, I want a feeling. I don't want a feeling. I want a conviction so strong in my heart, this is real, that hell and death don't make a bit of difference. Or an angel from heaven. Or even William Branham coming back from the dead and apologizing. Out of my way, boy. I'd like to tell the truth in the first place. Don't worry, he'll be back and be the same word, too. Because this word of power is going to get us to the millennium. We've tasted the power of the millennium already. We've entered into the power of the resurrection. We believe it. And you cannot believe anything except it be given you from above. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter. Now let's see what this word does. And we're going to read 7 to 9. Now bear with me and understand what I am teaching because this is necessary. Brother Branham said, these were the children of God until the word was preached, the vindicated word. It separated them. It pointed out who was who. You understand what I'm saying? That this is substantially evidence. This is substantially judgment. This is substantially eternal. Now, what are you doing with it? As I said a while ago, we're not going to be a bunch of church bimbos. Pretty licentious women. Haven't got an ounce of anything in their heads but knuckles. Empty noggin people. Empty hearted flusies. I have a right to say it. The church is a woman. Sorry, now listen. To Romans 14, verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. So, when Jesus Christ died and rose, he bought every single person, serpent seed, and everybody else. Now, how are you going to tell one from the other when the serpent seed's doing what the believer's supposed to do? Give him the word test. And yet, that's not enough. Can't people hold steady? Luther wouldn't hold steady, the Lutherans. Wesleyans wouldn't hold steady. Pentecostals wouldn't hold steady. Why? Because the pattern was cast under Paul. They wouldn't hold steady under Brother Branham. And the Brother Paul, I mean. But the only reason they'll hold steady under Brother Branham is for one reason. Time runs out. You're not a young girl that's a beautiful little creature that men lust after. And you get to the place where you can be seduced. No. You don't. Because in the innocence of childhood and of righteousness, you attain to an adulthood where you don't get fooled by anybody, period. Now, in spite of the fact that they knew that this man was vindicated, even Jesus Christ the righteous, they would not take him. 116th paragraph. I wonder today, where are we at? I ask you, where is the resurrection finding us? Now, this man, vindicated by God, says the resurrection is on because the resurrector is here, having given us the message, the next step is resurrection. But who believes that shout, which is a military command, is a message? No, they're going to argue the Greek. and go to hell over a diphthong, which is a double vowel. Today, in the resurrection hour, and people don't like to hear Brother Branham talk about hour. An hour, H-O-U-R. Why, bless God, the Bible's written. Hallelujah. We can read it. What's this hour stuff? Yeah, we know it's going to take place. Yeah. But to believe there's a message for this hour proves their ignorance when they deny it, because they knew there had to be a message under Luther. There had to be under Wesley. And Pentecostals didn't have a message. They had an experience. That's all they had. Because there's no place you can go to the Word of God and find categorically if you've got to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. They just surmised it. They took the historical account and made a doctrine. When Christ himself set the doctrine, the evidence of the Holy Ghost was believing the teacher. And there wasn't a teacher at Pentecost, no way, shape, and form, any more than the other times, because the teacher had not come. As Brother Branham said, Luther looked for the pillar of fire, and so did Wesley. The Pentecostals thought they had it, but they didn't. He said, just think how wonderful the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is now revealing it. So you understand what we're saying. All right, I wonder where we're at. Now watch. Do you dare to step out? To step out of what? Babylon. Do you dare to go back to Pentecost, which is Acts 2, 37 to 39, based upon Acts 2, 22 to 36, which is the resurrection from the dead, gave the open door in order for the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit in Christ, to come down and fill individuals. Then that same Holy Spirit come back as a teacher. Now, let me ask you a question. If there are no children, can there be a teacher? You say, yes, there's a teacher, but what good is it? So when God began to fill the schoolroom, he sent the teacher. You can't be taught of anybody unless you're a human instrument. You can't possibly receive anything from God unless you're his child and full of the Holy Ghost. Or you'll blow it. See what we're talking about? All right. If you're ordained to life, you will sure do it. Do what? Get out of what you're in. What are you in? In creeds and dogmas. Indisputably, a word that is not vindicated. Yes, vindicated way back here. That's why it's in the volume. But the hour of its coming to light, no. That's why Brother Branham had to keep using that word hour. Dare you to take God at his word? Boy, say we're doing it. Or as a vindication. You see, because vindication has escaped the people since the actual time and reality of Paul, they do not believe there's vindication in this hour. Well, they say, bless God, this book's vindicated. I believe it. Well, just a minute. How come 800 people sitting here, y'all got a different idea? You know what that's going to make people do? The very thing that Pentecost has done for years. Hey, listen, bless God. This business of fighting over the word is a lot of hogwash. Let's just come around Jesus. In other words, the 24th of May is the Queen's birthday, and you put up a totem, you put up a little maypole, and you dance around like a bunch of idiots. That's all there is to it. Church picnic. Dance around Jesus. Doesn't matter about your word, Lord. That's what they tell him. He said, well, I'll say that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Let's get right back to John again. If I had not done the works the other man did, they'd not sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. All your love is direct hatred that you call love. No, you couldn't listen. I'm preaching God's word. I'm not telling you something off the top of my head. I've got nothing to do with this word. Not a thing. I hope it's got something to do with me. I really do. Now, let's keep going. Over here, we might as well take Paul in Acts 24 and take our time, 14 to 15. He said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, come on. This guy comes up and he says, I believe everything in the law and the prophets. They say, hallelujah, so do I. Well, it says the judge, tell me, if they believe and you believe, what is going on here? It sounds stupid. Can't you idiots get together? Oh, no. Pillar of fire, God in the form of the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire, Jehovah Savior came down, blinded me on the road to Damascus, took me over there into the Arabian desert, and for about roughly 3 years talked to me face to face, and he gave me the true revelation of this testament that these men say they believe, and the Pharisees screamed to get him. They couldn't answer the bird because the guy was vindicated. He said from Illyricum all round about, he said, I preach with signs and wonders vindicating my right to preach the gospel. He said, I never came with sophisticated words. I never came any other way but in the power of God to make you to know that I knew that word. Well, they said, kill him. Get rid of the jerk. Come on, who's talking through their lips? Satan. Abel is justified. He's vindicated. The fire came down and licked up his offering, the same as it did under Elijah, where it licked up the stones. They said, get him. Get him. Get him. Come on. You understand what I'm talking about this morning? We're not bedtime stories and juveniles anymore. We're facing reality. We're right on the brink of a change. Somebody is. See, here's religiosity. Now, in verse 21, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. Paul was called in question by the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and this man absolutely said that Christ is risen amongst us. This is resurrection, and is proven by the very presence of the pillar of fire amongst his children, and he's done the works that people positively know that this is God speaking to them relative to the Scripture, of which we say we believe the Bible, and out there they all say we believe the Bible, and what's the matter? They're not vindicated, we are. Oh, there you are. Tell me one guy out there had thus saith the Lord. I think Dr. Jack Heil, up there in Detroit, Southern Baptist, he had left several years ago, 55,000 going to his church. I had one of his sermons entitled, If God Be For Us, Where Be All the Miracles? Which is in the Bible. When I read his sermon, I knew that Jack Hiles as a Baptist, without speaking in tongues, was a million miles at any Pentecost he ever ran across in my life. And I knew that Dr. Conant was the same way, because none of them could touch either one of those guys, though they did not have the miracles. But Dr. Conant told of a man, Dr. Williamson, in New York, coming back after 4 days into his body, which was true, documented. Dr. Hiles tells of a boy who was mentally retarded. His father died, and his father was his ideal. He knew nothing but his father. And he went to the casket where the corpse was. And he asked his father, who was dead, a question. And the father answered his question. This happened 3 times in a row. And this boy was fully satisfied with the answers, and they buried his father. You sitting here cannot actually believe that. I don't know that I can take it, but I do believe it, because I know it is possible. But how it is possible, only God can do it. Where's the Pentecostals can match that one? Some of you better start reading some books, and you'll find out just what has been going on in the world, and still miss the resurrection. Come up in the second? That's up to God. I have no understanding. That's his business. See? Dare we take him at his word? What do you mean, dare we take him at his word? Do we have the courage to step out on the basis of vindication against all opposition like Paul and say, listen, this is it. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what college or cardinal says. I don't care what the president says or the ordained elders or the chairman. I don't care anything. Or the Pope. Makes no difference to me. What's vindicated is what counts. If you are ordained to life, you sure will do it. If you're an eagle, you can't help doing it. Now, that's the stinger right there. Did anybody put pressure on you? I know a certain preacher. We're loggerheads, always were. He was around Brother Branham hunting everything else. But he never was for him until the pressure got put on him. I guess I'm telling tales out of school. I shouldn't do it. I kind of feel bad about it. But I'm going to tell you my own experience is this. When I ever put pressure on anybody, it doesn't work. I remember one guy, he was talking, and I said, shut up and listen. I said, you're supposed to be a minister and supposed to teach and everything else, and you haven't got enough brain to shut up and listen, because everything I say, you're forming a question in your mind to ask me a question. Why didn't you shut up and just listen to see where I'm going? And I blew him plumb away. Stupid ass that I was. You don't win anybody that way. You can't win. All you've done is coerce somebody. And he that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. A little couplet that I learned as a kid is very true. Which means, as Brother Branham said, you cannot have a white blackbird or a drunk sober person. If you're ordained, you sure will step out on this word of the hour that Brother Branham preached based upon vindication. You can't help doing it because there is something in you that does it for you. Like Brother Branham said, I wanted to be a trapper against my better judgment. He said, I wanted to go out there and be a skunk skinner. That sounds like little Abner, doesn't it, down there? In the funny papers. Remember they had the skunk works? Yeah. I wanted to be a skunk skinner. I wanted to be a trapper. You know, something like that little old song we used to sing during Prohibition. As long as there's a still on top of the hill, let the rest of the world go dry. As long as I can be left alone hunting, happy, happy, happy me. I've got my lone Christmas tree. Who needs it? He couldn't help himself. He was stuck. So is every eagle. Now, my brother, sister, they can exterminate the eagle. They can destroy his very species. But they cannot deny that it was an eagle. They can kill us. They can burn us. They can get rid of every vestige of our faith and us. But it won't do them any good because we're coming right back to plague them again. I've said that and I shouldn't have said it. But we're coming back whether they want it or not. And we will be a plague in the respect we're going to have to witness, because we will be witnesses. And some we will witness for. As Brother Branham said, the bride will be an attorney. Now, there's something in you that you cannot help. You are what you are. That's what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. For 117. Or do you want to just serve a creed somewhere and say, I go to church? See? I'm as good as you are. If you hold those birthrights, you'll never see it. If you hold those birthrights, see? Those creeds, those dogmas, those churches, you're never going to see it. You can't see it. But if you hold to the possession of this birthright, you can't help from seeing it because it's a part of you. How can I deny the mother that gave me birth? How can I deny the father that his own blood is in me? You see the light. And the blood clothed the light. How could I deny Charles Branham for my father? I could not do it. I'm willing to stand His reproach or anything else because I'm His son. Hallelujah. Then being the Son of God and He was the Word of God, how can I deny that Bible being truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Seeing the hour that we're living in, we need an Easter in the church, resurrection. We need a resurrection to the power of faith, men and women to stand out for that which is God's vindicated Word. Now, let's go to Galatians and read about this. Chapter 4. You see, there's a lot of material in here if you just get with it, right? Yes, sir, that's what we want to do, is get with the Word of God the way the prophet brought it, because it's here in the Bible. All right. Beginning at Galatians, the 4th chapter, number 1, it's a long one. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, remember in Hebrews, he said, I'd like to talk to you as adult, mature people, manifested sons, but he said, there's no way. He said, you're little tiny kids. I got to give you milk, but the day's coming when you're going to get strong meat, and it centers on whom? Melchizedek. Now, don't forget. Now, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, he's talking about the law, but he's talking about us. 2. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What about today? God sends forth what? He Himself coming forth in the form of the Holy Ghost in a Son of Man ministry, proving who He is to bring us to this place. Notice the parallels. Now, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You've got to be a son before the Holy Ghost will come to you. Remember, the dove that leads the lamb never got on a wolf. Won't work. It's a different breed. How be it then, when we knew not God, you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. And now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? He's talking to first day Christians that are backsliding, that are leaving the Word. And why are they leaving the Word? Because these guys back here are arguing the Old Testament. And they're saying, well, this Jesus was a phony. Oh, don't get fooled by signs and wonders. The devil can do that too. Oh, yeah, the devil can do that too. These guys that believed in Elijah in the showdown on Mount Carmel? Come on. When the devil opened the eyes of the blind and glorified God? Come on. Oh, these guys are pure, simple idiots when it comes to spiritual things. I'm sorry, maybe you shouldn't say things like that, but God being my judge, listen, where are you going to put them? Now, what do they turn? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. Lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain, wasted my time. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. In other words, we're standing on the same free ground. Grace of God and no regards or no payment to anybody. Just stand before God. I don't owe you nothing. You owe me nothing. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. Like a sick man, showing the power of God. And my testings, which were in my flesh, you despise not. Almost blind, everything else, carrying a doctor with him. Despise not, rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Yeah. This man's ministry was so identical. Receive him just as though he were Jesus Christ. Christ couldn't have had a better reception. Where then is the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear your record, it had been possible you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That's why they say Paul was blind, almost blind. But am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, that's exactly right. Or he wouldn't be like Christ. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. In other words, come to join their numbers and make them look good. Million more in 74, 54. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now watch where we're going. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. That's true, because she couldn't have children at 90 years of age. And he couldn't do the act, let alone procreate a child. And if she'd have got pregnant, she'd have died. Absolutely. Or the child would have been aborted. They turned back to youth, signifying the resurrection. Now listen, which is an allegory, which means an extended parable, which is a toughie, and you listen to it because this has got a meaning that you might not grasp, but you'd better grasp it. He warns them. For there are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Brother Branham, as a revealed and vindicated prophet of God, categorically said that they had left Palestine, before Palestine, out of Egypt, and they had the pillar of fire, and they had a prophet who brought the word, but they wanted a law. And they wanted a king. Whereas God took them out by grace, was going to take them in by grace and establish them by grace. And they said they have well spoken what they have spoken. I will never deal any more except by a prophet. God, listen. These people here were putting themselves in bondage, which is Sinai. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. An answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage to her children. But the Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. No, sir, which is our mother. He does not say mother of us all. That's not in the Greek. Which is our mother. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Now who's that? That's Sarah. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now who's desolated? Hagar's desolated. She's booted out. She's kicked out. The seed are not heir with the shuck, or the shuck is not heir with the seed. They can't have it. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, which means we are supernaturally born. Poor Abraham couldn't have, and Sarah couldn't have that son if they... Well, they prayed it didn't do them any good. When they got to the place where there was absolutely no hope at all, and they both in the worst shape they ever could be, that's when God's grace took over. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And you can have many children. You can have every child of the flesh. And except there's a child of promise there, promised to Jesus, the Son of God, that child will never come to Christ. I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, but we're going through it right now. I could tell you stories, make your hair stand on about my own kids, flesh and blood. And I just tell my wife, well, listen, kid, get this flat. Eight people made the ark. And if you don't make it, or I don't make it, nothing to squall about. So you come to the place where live or die, sink or swim. It's out of your hands. So what are you putting your two bits for? What are you getting your heart all upset for? Oh, I got... What do you think they're going to do in the day of judgment? Well, Lord, I did this, I did that. Oh. I'm not hard-hearted. I'm just telling you the truth. Come on, get with it. You've turned your corner. You're not on the fence anymore, so don't pretend you are. Come on, we're all dying. We're going to get out of here by the grace of God. One way or the other, with grace or disgrace, the world's gone up in flames. Listen, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. In other words, there is a child of promise. In other words, there's somebody in that word that coincides with the word, will pile word upon word. As Brother Branham said, how can you say you got the Holy Ghost and deny the word? Now, it's not that they deny the Bible. They deny the word of the hour which has been made alive. The Catholic Church denied Luther. Now they got a great excuse. Oh, my.
Pope John, what was he, 23rd, the loving Pope, the kind old boy, you know, the nice old shepherd guy, 22, whatever he was. Now, if he'd have been Pope instead of Leo, Luther never would have lived. Oh, you talk about a life in the pit of hell. They could have had 16 Pope Johns there, a million times loved him. The old Pope, there was a lovely pastor. He was a lovely man, no doubt. He was a fine, fine man. Luther would have got out anyway. He had to, because it's the word that makes the difference, not some sentiment. I'm a sentimental guy. I cry easy. You don't know that, but I do. I'm very romantic, too. You wouldn't know that. My wife wouldn't even know it either. I'm very romantic guy. I seem as hard as hell on the outside, but I'm not. It's a facade. But I'm going to tell you, if I was the meekest, sweetest, tear-gushing guy in all the world, lay down my life, what does it do if I'm not separated under the word of God? Shows I'm not worthy to begin with. You say what you want. I don't care, Brother Branham hit it right on the head. Absolutely. Praise God for Brother Branham. Praise God for God. Worship Him. Now listen here. This one persecuted. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Now let's go back to the Word. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the seed of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Paul tells you right there, our mother, you that stick with me and get this word, you positively understand grace, you are in grace, and you are of New Jerusalem. Now, with that, what's much time we got left? Not that it matters. Oh, good, we'll read this and close. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And we read from verse 18, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burns with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest. What is that? That's Sinai. That's Hagar. But and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. In fact, in the day of Jesus Christ said, we will not hear this word. We're going to kill you, bud, and get the word out of our ears. We'll get rid of you, and we get rid of you. We get rid of the word. We get rid of you heretics here. We get rid of that word. Out! That's right. You understand what I'm saying? You better, because I'm speaking under inspiration, sure as I stand there and all the sin. Don't try to kid me for 1 minute. I know when the Spirit of God moves. And when He doesn't move. Now listen. They entreated that the word should not be spoken anymore. They'll deal with you nicely. They'll try to seduce you. That doesn't work. They'll kill you. They'll get rid of you. They'll frame you. Don't worry. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And as much as the beast touched the mountain, it be stoned or thrust through with an ark, so terrible is the sight. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now that's just concerning giving the word. You see, that was word given under law. But now listen, you are not under law. You are come unto Mount Zion, which is New Jerusalem, which is the rapture, and unto the sitting of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels or messengers, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Listen, there's a separation here, and these people want the word. We don't say get rid of that guy. Why do you think people flock, Brother Branham, and ask questions, 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 questions? Because they knew that he was an authority. How could a man make a light bulb and not be an authority? How could a man take a piece of wood and so carve that thing? He's got little marbles running right up and down inside the grooves that he carves of a single piece of wood. He's an authority. He knows how to do it and can do it. Where do you take your car? To the garage that you feel is authoritative. Not some mechanic goes, well, kick the wheels. That's supposed to let you know that you're getting a good second-hand car. What has kicking the wheels got to do with it? But they do it. And we're talking about the church. Listen. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, to speak of better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him to speak it. They turned down the Christ in the day of Moses. They turned him down, time of Christ. They turned Paul down. Now, when you are approaching to New Jerusalem, and you consider you are a part of the bride, that you're going in that rapture, you are not under law, you're under grace, And you say you know that word. Now listen. Someone's going to start talking. Present tense. See, he refused not him that speaketh when at that time. For if they escape not, or if refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him, not that speaketh from heaven, but is from heaven. Revelation 10:1. Hey, the Bible's got to run in continuity. Where do you find someone coming down and talking? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, which is a command of putting the church in order. You see Revelation 10:1. The mighty one comes down with a rainbow over his head, feet like pillars of fire, and he begins to talk. That is the Bible. Then you begin to see that before we rise to meet him in the air, there's got to be someone called Elijah. Restoring what? The word. You begin to see, understand. So there's someone that's speaking, and that one is from heaven. For if they escape not him that spake on the earth, how much more shall not escape return to him that is from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven. Heaven was not shaken at the time of Moses. It was shaken in a degree at the time of Noah. And Enoch had just made the rapture. What about today? Mount Sinai, Mount Zion coming up. So there's one going to talk. He's going to move the heavens also. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I wonder what the Bible tells you about that. It said he made all things by his word, and he maintains it by his word. So what is being shaken? Everything but the revealed true word of God. So if you don't have it, brother, sister, you're going to be shaken from out of your boots, and so will I. Shake those minds down until they're bereft of everything but the word of Almighty God spoken by a vindicated prophet. Wherefore, if we receiving a kingdom, that's New Jerusalem, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, what's he telling you? How that you're going to reverence him, worship him, and serve him? You've got to have the prophetic word. That's why Brother Branham said, no man can worship and serve God outside of a prophet. Time's up. No, I read it all. I read it all. So, all right. Easter seal. Resurrection seal. Holy Ghost proving it. Let's rise and be dismissed. You're a lovely bunch of people. Love you. I shout and I jump here, but you know how it is to keep myself happy. I got just enough Pentecostal in me to know I should be running and jumping and shouting. But I don't do it because I teach, and I can hardly run and jump and shout and teach at the same time. And of course, you're criticized because you don't yell enough when I tell you the truth, because you have enough understanding to be quiet to learn. So you're from this point on is where you react and how you react with the Spirit of God and the Word. That's the truth. Lives are being changed. Don't worry, you're not the same as when you came in this morning, any more than last night. Nobody can hear this word and not something not happen. It's beautiful. It's a rest. It's not a striving. We love the Lord this morning, don't we? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning because of this word that you gave, which shows the great love. Because you gave us a word that had people listen, your son would not have had to die. But we know, you know, they wouldn't listen. You gave them a chance. And we know that, as Irenaeus said so clearly, that you being sovereign God, being a Savior, you must predestinate a man who needs salvation to give yourself reason and purpose of being. We accept that. We accept it to your glory and thank you, and want to be really submissive to the truth as it is in the passive and in the active, whichever way. We appreciate that. And Lord, we just pray that you will quicken it to us in exactly the right way, which we're talking about now, your spirit overcoming our spirits, so that in our own lives, hearts and minds, in our mouths, in presentation, if we should present, it will be in the reality of its own, not something we are adding to or taken from, but in the meekness and love of Christ, it's all brought forth. This, Lord, is what we saw in Paul and Brother Branham. And you know, Lord, that this is a cry in my heart. I know it's a cry of the hearts of the people, that above everything else in the world, that this should be it, the living epistles read and known of all men. Our temperance and moderation known unto all men, the grace of God known in these respects. This is what we desire. So temper us today, blessed Holy Spirit. And if it's going to take the tempering of things which we do not even like to mention, as Paul said, famine, you know, sword, peril, persecution, life, death, no matter. It takes all those things, then we realize that is what it takes. And you are sovereign. You are God. We appreciate that. And we want to really appreciate it on the grounds that you bring it home to our consciousness as never before. So the week leaving this building, coming back and forth, always come into periods of growth. Absolutely, Lord. And that would be, even like it is said in your word concerning Jesus, that he grew in stature and favor with God and man. Let it be with us the same, Lord, coming into full adulthood, to stand there in that adulthood which we know was in Christ. As Brother Branham said, perhaps 1977 could end it all, and then he said he'd have to work awful fast to do it. And yet we know your word promises a short, quick work, fast one. And we look at ourselves and we think, what year would we be looking at to see your work done in us? This which we would desire and we're talking to you about this morning. I wouldn't hazard a guess, Lord. All I would do is say, even so, Lord, have your way and let it be the work be done in us. Long work or quick work. And it kind of looks like it would have to be quite a quick work, which we know that's very compatible with Scripture. Very, very compatible. Because, Lord, there's no time with you actually in the long run. It's all eternity. But we say, have your way in our hearts, minds, and lives, and may whatever you desire of us, Lord, be our desire. As the prophet said, I always do what I want to do because I want to do his will. Father, that's a tremendous statement. Strange that a man could stand up and actually say that, but we know that that's true. Let a little of that fall upon us today, Lord. Whatever measure is ours, if it is in the Word, and we believe it is, there's a measure there. May we stand with that measure, and that measure come through us to the glory of God. We thank you for the sweet presence of Christ because it indeed is sweet. To know that this is he in our midst and he has brought us that which is in redemption and going to take a bride out of here. So we thank you for the sweet presence that heals us to the very extent of raising the dead and bringing immortality to us with the promise of going forth like calves of the stall. Just fattened up, full with the Word of God, the richness and the energy of it. All these things we praise you for and commend and commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.